Okay, we're on page 160 on the top, six lines in the top of the page. The Rebbe is explaining that this is the name of the difference between the name of Elohim and Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke is the revelation of Elokos, like we're learning in the whole Shayich Vamuna. Elohim is a concealment. Now, the Rebbe is explaining, without the concealment of Elohim, the Yudke Vavke cannot be revealed in the world because it's too great, it's too infinite for the world to handle. Just like if there's too much light, there's too much sunlight, you can't look at the sun. You need to have sunglasses or a shield that protects the sun to be able to look at it. Why? Because it's too much light, you can't handle it. If you can't handle it, you need something to block and conceal the light. Like we said, you can have hundreds of gallons of water, but you can't take a drink because it's too unlimited. You need a cup that's 8 ounces or 6 ounces to be able to take a drink. So he says, what is Elohim basically? Elohim conceals the name of Yudke Vavke, which is the infinite level of Hashem, the above time and place level of Hashem. But the fact that Elohim conceals Yudke Vavke with the purpose of being able and allowing Yudke Vavke to become revealed, that is also really chesed. That means when you limit something in order to reveal it, because without it you get nothing, so that limitation and concealment is also really an act of chesed. To give an example, if, like we said many times, a brilliant math professor, they think, you know, the highest levels of math, and they want to come into first grade to teach math, they cannot teach on their level. Because if they teach on their level, the kids will get absolutely nothing. Because it's way over their heads. So what does he have to do? He has to limit and hide and conceal all his brilliance and come back to teach 1 and 1 is 2. So even though he's concealing his knowledge and he's limiting his knowledge and he's hiding his knowledge, but in reality, that concealment allows the revelation to happen, and therefore that concealment itself is really the act of chesed. It's really an act of kindness. Why? Yeah, he wrote a good book. Who said the math professor? I don't know. V'hine, miskalalus hamidah zu bezu, from the unity of the midas, the way one midah is included, inclusive in the next, nira la'ayin, you see clearly, de'iyu ve'gamer echad, that Hashem and the kelim of the world are all one, meaning she midasov, which are the midas of Hashem, because the midas are united with Hashem, therefore they're united one with the next, and they're inclusive one in the next, like Eliyahu Navi says, you are the one that ties them and unites them and so on. When, to give the analogy of the human body, you have different parts of the body. But because it's one body, even though there are opposite things in the body, they all united to function together. For instance, the head and the feet are opposites. The head and the heart are opposites. Right hand and left hand are opposites. Yet, the fact that they feel the life of the neshama, so to speak, so they all work together, and even though they're opposites, but they join forces together. So he says the same thing is with the kelim, because they're united with Elokus. That's why chesed and gvura can coexist and work together. Because what are they ultimately feeling? The yichud with Hashem. And Hashem has all these attributes within him. Therefore, when each one feels Elokus and is biyichud, united with Elokus, chesed and gvura could coexist. I'll give you two more examples of this concept of opposites coexisting because of the unity of it. If you have the mashal colors, black and white are opposites. Yet, in a beautiful picture, you can have black colors and white colors and other opposite, colors, nevertheless, because they're all united in a proper way that they feel, so to speak, what the picture is all about, so then they blend together. There's no contrast between... One second. There's no contrast between them. You have the same thing. You have instruments that are mamish opposite musical instruments. Some are soft and some are, You can have like a drum, haktachinik, and another violin is very, very soft. Yet, when you have a symphony, all the opposites are blending together. Now, if they don't blend together, it's going to be a disaster. Because the contrast of the opposites, the same thing with colors. If you don't match colors, it's disgusting. It's awful in a picture. In a symphony, if everybody's going to go off on their own, without the bittle to what the musical piece is supposed to sound like, it's going to sound awful. But when they bottle and there's yichud between the opposites, so then it works in a fabulous way. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining, why is it that we're saying that the act of gvura, of limitation and concealment, is really chesed? Why is that? Because they're all batal and yichud and united with Hashem himself. And because they're united with Hashem, that's why there could be gvura in chesed, and chesed in gvura, and you can have all combination of all the spheres, even though chesed and gvura are opposite, but chesed has gvura in it, and gvura has chesed in it. Now, that's like we say, by spheres to Aymer, each one of the seven midas is composed of all seven. So you have chesed, sheba chesed, and gvura, sheba chesed. And the same thing when you come to gvura, you have chesed, sheba gvura, and gvura, sheba gvura. Why are they uniting? Because they all feel alukus. And therefore, k'maim reliolik, Eliyahu HaNavi said, va'antu dekoshalein, you are the one that bound them, or miyachalein, and you unite the spheres, u'baminoch, and without you, meaning except without Hashem, les yichuda be'iloi, there is no yichud, there is no unity in the higher worlds, or for that matter, in the lower worlds. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining as follows. And this is very important before we go to the next line. The Alter Rebbe is bringing all of this out to explain the way the worlds are really alukus. Because the fact that the world feels itself to be separated from Elokus. And that's why the world is called Yesh Mi'ayin. Because Yesh Mi'ayin means something from nothing, meaning you don't feel that you have a source where you came from. So he says, even though the world seemingly feels a separate entity from Elokus, the only reason that exists is because of the level of Elokim that conceals the revelation of godliness that the world should be able to exist. But the fact that Elokim is really Yudke Vavke, the fact that Gvur and Chesed is really all the same, the only thing that really exists is only Hashem. Because you can't cover yourself with yourself. What is concealing godliness? The name of Elokim. But Elokim is also God. And like we say, Hashem Hu Elokim. When the pasuk that we say, or many times, but we say at the end of Yom Kippur, the highlight of Yom Kippur, right before the Hashem Hu Elokim. So simply, if you translate it to English, God is God. Like, good morning. What is God? Not God. What should say? Hashem Hu Lo Elokim. Hashem Hu Elokim simply means God is God. So what is the pasuk saying? It doesn't mean God. Of course God is God. What is God? A table? If you're saying he's God, he's God. What it means is that Elokim and Hashem, Yudke Vavke, is really the same thing. Why? Because you can't cover yourself with yourself. If somebody comes, one second, if somebody comes, kids always do this. Adults are a little bit more intelligent. They camouflage it in a different way. But if somebody comes along and goes like this, puts their hands over their eyes, and says, you can't see me. Now, kids do it, but it's a very ridiculous statement. Because the hand is also you. What do you mean you can't see me? You can say you can't see my eyes, because the hand is not the eyes. But the hand is me. So if I cover myself with myself, you can't say you don't see me, because the hand is also me. And therefore, even in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a din at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch that says, in order to, you always have to wear a yarmulke, but especially when to make a bracha. So it says, what happens if you don't have a yarmulke, you don't have a kippah, what should you do? So it says, you cannot put your hand over your head as a covering to make a bracha. Somebody else could put their hand on your head, and it's called a covering. But you can't put your own hand on your own head. I mean, you can switch, you can go like this with somebody else, you know. But you can't cover your own head with your own hand. Why not? Because you can't cover yourself with yourself. By the way, what you do is something completely different. No. It depends. If you're covering your yarmulke with your hand, so then you're not covering yourself with your hand, you're covering the yarmulke with your hand. So that's why it's good for a double cover. But I'm saying, technically, if you don't have a yarmulke, and you just want to either put with your hand over your head, or your arm over your head, that's not good. If you take the sleeve is not you, so therefore it's considered a covering. But what is basically the concept of the halacha? The concept of the halacha is, you can't cover yourself with yourself, because it's still you. The covering is still you. What is this whole concept of tzimtzum that we learned until now? The Alter Rebbe now is coming up with a major point. The Alter Rebbe explained until now that Hashem is so great in a way that we can't understand Him, that Hashem covers Himself with Himself, because there's nothing that's not Hashem. So even when Hashem hides Himself from us and conceals Himself from us, Hashem is hiding Himself from us with Himself. But Hashem is so great, He makes it appear that the covering is a separate entity, even though realistically it is Him. So therefore, everything that exists in the world, which is created by the words of Hashem in the 10 utterances of creation, and the words of Hashem are constantly in creation, as Alter Rebbe explained in great length before, because if Hashem would leave the creation, the world wouldn't exist. So basically, what is keeping this table existing? The power of Hashem that's in the table. Why don't we see the power of Hashem that's in the table? Because the name Elohim is concealing it. But what is Elohim? Elohim itself is Hashem. So Hashem is hiding Himself within Himself. So Lucheda, why don't we see Him then? That's it. Hashem is so great that He hides Himself with Himself, which is really not a covering. But He does it in a way that, as far as we're concerned, it's a covering. So therefore, in reality, there's nothing in the world that's not Hashem. There's nothing in the world that's not Hashem. Now, somebody can ask the question, and we discussed this a long time ago. So if this table is God, I'll bow down to the table. Or, for that matter, how can the table stand on the floor? You should pick it up and kiss it. Because it's God. The answer is, whoever bows down to the table is worshipping idols. Because the table is not God. It's a revelation of Hashem which is concealed. And the difference between holiness and non-holiness is only in the revelation of godliness that's in it. Not if there's more God or less God. There's no difference between the holiest thing and the lowest thing. Hashem is all over. And there isn't a place that He doesn't exist. The only difference between a sefer and the table, if a sefer falls on the floor, you pick it up and kiss it. And if the table is on the floor, you leave it there. Why? It's not a difference in how much God exists there, because there is nothing that's not God. The difference is only, this is a godly revelation, so therefore it's holy. This is a concealed level of godliness, it's not holy. But even to a sefer, if somebody bows to a sefer, it's avodah zarah.
If everything is God, then isn't everything holy?
No, because godliness is revealed in certain places, and certain places He's not revealed. Anything which is not holy is a concealment of God. I mean, how can He cover Himself with Himself and not cover Himself? Yeah, that's what you said before. It's one of the things, one of the infinite things of God we can't understand. Now, Alter Rebbe says, just like you can't understand God's infinite power, because it's infinite, but a finite mind can't understand it, The same way we can't understand any attribute of God, even the attribute of how Hashem is able to conceal himself with himself in a way that we don't see himself. How could that be? It doesn't make sense. But nothing makes sense. No, by the way, I have to correct that. Let's put it this way. I mentioned this a few times recently. I remember I mentioned last week. It makes more sense to believe in God than not to believe in God. Because nothing makes sense. But when you believe in God, you understand why it doesn't make sense. But when you don't believe in God, then nothing makes sense. And it doesn't make sense why it doesn't make sense. So it's more logical to believe in God. Because then when nothing makes sense, at least you understand why it doesn't make sense.
Is there any way to explain how the most evil, disgusting world could be Hashem hidden? Or is that one of these mysteries?
Let me ask you a very simple question. What makes that object exist and not disappear?
Hashem.
So, in other words, it's not only, like we said, you can have a toy, okay, that's, so to speak, a dead toy. You put a battery into the toy becomes alive, correct? It moves. Now, the battery doesn't make the toy exist. The battery only gives it life. So when you take out the battery, the toy doesn't disappear, so to speak. It's dead. No, so to speak, the same thing in the neshama and the body. The neshama comes into the body, makes the body alive. The neshama leaves the body, somebody passes away. So then the body doesn't immediately disappear, even though the neshama left, but the body still exists. Why? Because the neshama doesn't create the body. The neshama gives life to the body. But the body has its own creation power from Hashem that keeps the body, that it doesn't disappear a second the neshama leaves the body. By the way, Chassidus explains it's still connected to the neshama. That's why eventually the body does disappear. The body does rot and disappear because even the existence of the body is dependent on the neshama. But superficially, the neshama doesn't create the body. What? Right. Because the neshama is always connected. But a person, the neshama does not create the body. The neshama gives life to the body. Correct? The power of Hashem that's in this disgusting, despicable evil is not only making it alive, it's making it exist. And therefore, if Hashem would leave for a second, it wouldn't exist.
It's all Hashem.
Correct. But
the power inside of it.
Correct. Its existence is Hashem. But it's Hashem concealed to such an extent that it's total evil, in a way that we can't even elevate it. That's Shalosh Klipos HaTameis, which is considered, in Chassidus speaks nicely, Shalosh Klipos HaTameis. What you're saying is, it's disgusting, despicable evil, that's Shalosh Klipos HaTameis, that you can't elevate. Right? But that essence of existence is from the Hashem's power that's in it. You could take it even a step further. We said this many times. If I take my hand and smack somebody in the face, I'm doing an act of evil, correct? Not only it's an existence of, I'm doing an act of evil, willingly doing an act of evil. Who gave me the power? Who gave my hand the power to smack? It's Hashem. Who made the smack happen? Hashem. Why am I punished? Because I shouldn't have done it. And like the Alter Rebbe said, the guy that got smacked, he shouldn't be angry at the guy that did it. Because Hashem wanted you to get smacked. Because if he didn't want you to get smacked, you wouldn't have gotten smacked. The fact that you got smacked is because Hashem wanted you to get smacked. There's nothing to do with the guy that smacked you. That's between him and God. Between him and God, he did a wrong action against Hashem. But the fact that you got smacked. So now, who allowed that smack to, who made the hand exist? And who allowed the hand to move?
But allowing and being are seemingly two different things.
No.
With Hashem.
But it's that's what I'm saying. Not only is the hand's existence dependent on Hashem, the hand's movements are also... Who allows... God forbid a person can be paralyzed. Right? The fact that the person can move their hand, that's because Hashem is allowing them to move. It is. Because you chose to do something Hashem says not to do. That's to the guy that it happened to, not to you. Huh? You're not his messenger. God has Habir Shluchim Lamokim. God, if you wanted to get it smacked, there's a lot of ways of doing it. Because you chose to do it. And Hashem says, if you want to choose evil, I will allow you to do evil. Hashem says, if you the path you want to go, Hashem lets you to go. But you didn't have to be the one to do it, and that's why you're punished. The person that it happened to doesn't have the bechira. Why? He didn't have to be the one to... Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do God's dirty work.
But then that somebody is, again, the same thing.
He has a right to think, you know, I don't want to do it either. That person has to get smacked. Take a bang into the wall.
Why does God need to...
Okay. It's funny because I don't. If you see, it's pretty good.
Rabbi, are we at a higher level if we do see good when there is evil? We do see the good when
it's not a high level. We're supposed to be... That's the whole job of a Jew, is to see the difference between good and bad. It's not a high level.
But if we see the good and the evil, I mean, the evil is theoretically and technically bad. It's not good. And we see the good and it's at a higher level.
Evil... in its essence, is good. Because without evil, you don't have good. If you don't have evil, you can't do good. So evil, basically, is good. And that's why Hashem created evil in the world. So question, why did Hashem create evil if it's against Him? If evil goes against Hashem, and Hashem is concealed in such a way that not only you don't see Hashem, but it's anti-Hashem, so why should Hashem create it? Because in order for good to be good, you need the opportunity to do bad. And if you don't have the opportunity to do evil, then good is not good. So then evil is good. Because evil is the means that allows you to do good. Because without evil, we couldn't do good. Are you worried? Okay. We'll talk then. There will also be Aveda then. We discussed this already, between good and better. And if you do good instead of better, then good is bad.
Are we all going to be tzaddikim, are you saying? Are we all going to be tzaddikim then?
I know about me, I don't know about you.
Well, what's the answer?
To me, no.
We're not all going to be tzaddikim.
No, you will, maybe not me.
I'm already now.
Oh, I'm sorry. You'll be a higher tzaddik.
Are we all going to be abandoning?
No, there won't be Ruach HaTum, there will be Ruach HaTum Avim in Aretz. Evil will be seethed from the world. No, when you talk about action of good, the action of good can only be considered good if you have the opportunity to do bad. When an angel, when a malach does good, because they have no Yetzirah, and they have no body, and they have no evil, and they're the program to do good, so therefore when a malach does good, it's not really good. Because what else do you expect him to do? But there'll be a difference between good and better. So even though evil won't exist, but how will we serve Hashem? How will we grow in Yiddishkeit? We will go from good to better, to better, to better, better. I'll tell you the truth, I never thought about it. Really doesn't.
About
Chuvas. It said Mashiach is going to last Savit Sadikai, but he's going to make everybody Bali Chuvas.
All right, okay. Don't say any more.
No discrimination.
No more FFBs in BT.
Everybody would be rich, but it would be worthless. I mean, it won't mean anything to them. The Rambam says Mashiach comes going to be Madanim Ka'afar. So simply means there's going to be delicacies, you know, luxuries like dirt, meaning it's in abundance. The Rebbe once explained in the Sikha by Sima Rambam, the Rebbe says Madanim Ka'afar doesn't mean that the Rambam says there will be an abundance of Madanim. People will treat Madanim like dirt. It won't mean anything to them because the main thing will be to serve Hashem. So it won't mean anything to them, you know, the money and all that stuff, because it's going to be, in their opinion, at that time when evil won't exist, all these things are going to be treated like nothing. Even food. In the second era, we won't need to eat. Now you eat, according to Chassidus, now you eat to keep the neshama in the body. Because the body sustains itself from the neshama, to keep the neshama in the body, you need to eat. When Mashiach comes, the body will sustain the neshama. Because the body is greater than the neshama. So Mashiach comes, especially after Tchias HaMeisim, the body will sustain the neshama. And for, to have that, there's not eating and drinking, because there's no need to keep the neshama in the body, because the body is supporting the neshama.